Hello, Tempest fans. I am the Midnight Host, and I want to invite you to join me every Friday as I enjoy a new horror short story. For fans of The Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt, and Creep Show, Don't Fall Asleep is a podcast and YouTube channel featuring modern and classic horror stories. Narrated by Spencer Dillehay, the narrator for Tempest Investigations. Find us on YouTube and in podcast form. Search Don't Fall Asleep Channel on YouTube and Don't Fall Asleep Podcast in Google or your player of choice. Whatever you do, have a pint of Bob's Tail Ale before you go, and don't fall asleep.
Part 3. The Court of the Vampires of San Francisco, what was, among the vampires themselves, referred to as the Elysium, was still in the same place Jim had visited so many years ago. The Transamerica Pyramid in the center of San Francisco's financial district didn't look like it would be the home for the children of the night. And that was precisely the point. Gone was the era of castles shrouded in mist on high peaks. Gone was the lonely villa in a deserted forest. Today, the vampires wore regular clothes and blended in with the rest of the people of the Bay Area, which, admittedly, gave them wide freedom to spice up their clothes should they want to. It was true that since the new order had been established, they rarely experienced the thrills of the hunt. But a person came to enjoy the comforts of the peaceful life. The many homeless people in San Francisco also meant that there was rarely a time where a willing person couldn't be persuaded to give up a few quarts of blood against the promise of cash, a warm bed, or a decent meal. The Elysium was not exactly inaccessible, but to get there, you had to know the special elevator code. Push basement twice, push top floor once, then push basement twice again. If you did not know the code, you had to wait for someone who did, which might mean going up and down a few times. Eventually, someone would come along, especially since the elevators rarely were busy at night. It was early evening, and the sun had dipped behind the buildings, leaving Midtown in shadow and the electric lights of the streetlights. The Transamerica Pyramid was at the bottom of several sloping streets, giving one the impression of standing at the bottom of a giant bowl when you looked up the steep hills toward Chinatown or North Beach. Maurice got out of the black Cadillac and closed the door. He stretched his back while Diego and Ernst got out of the two front doors.
"Are you sure about this?" Diego said. "I've been here before, sure, but what you're planning to do here..."
Maurice held up his hand as a signal for him to stop.
"Diego, mon ami, I am as sure as I will ever be. It's quite simply not a matter of choice. If we're going to thrive in this city, it's important that the prince knows about us, but even more important that his subjects know, and that the rules change. We're here to shake things up, and there are two ways of doing that. Start from the bottom and work our way up, or just go straight to the top."
"But you don't think they'll hurt us in there, no matter what?" Ernst said. "The Elysium's supposed to be a sanctuary, right?"
"Right," Diego nodded. "No violence in there, unless the prince specifically calls down a hunt on you, which he could do."
He winked at Ernst, who gritted his teeth. Maurice waved a hand dismissively.
"Hardly. As far as I understand it, L'Amour prefers talk over action. You would have to if you wanted to be a leader in a town under truce. Besides, Ernst did his research. Didn't you, Ernst?"
Ernst nodded and swept his brown hair out of his eyes.
"Yes, I did. It should hold water, legally speaking. I'm just worried that..."
"Ah, tut-tut. You worry too much. If we don't do something crazy and dangerous once in a while,
What's this eternal existence really good for?
Maurice took off his white suit jacket, holding it on one finger over his shoulder.
Shall we?
The three men walked from the garage they had parked in and down the street. It was only a few minutes' walk, but as they walked, Maurice acted like a tourist. He gazed up at the buildings, smiled at the people they passed, even craned his neck to look at the top of the pyramid, where an airplane warning light now had come on. His smile made his fangs stand out more, but in the twilight no one seemed to notice. They arrived at the pyramid entrance, and Ernst opened the door for the two others, letting them step into the lobby, which at this hour was close to empty. They all removed their sunglasses.
"Lead the way," Maurice said, looking at Diego. "Yes, follow me."
Diego led them past the reception and to the elevator in the furthest corner. He pushed the button, stepped inside, and pressed the coded sequence on the elevator panel. The doors closed, and the car moved down. There was time enough for Ernst to look at his two companions in the mirrors of the elevator and wonder how the old superstition that a vampire was invisible in a mirror had come to exist. They were all as clear as day in the mirrored walls of the elevator car. When the doors opened, they looked into a long corridor where several groups of people stood and talked. The lights were dimmed, consisting of mostly candles and soft mood lighting, but it gave the impression of a nightclub or a comfortable bar. Between them and the corridor, however, stood three men, broad-shouldered and muscled in identical black suits, looking most of all like bouncers at a discotheque. They all stared at Maurice and his friends with expressionless faces.
"Gentlemen," Maurice said, holding out his hands. "Please, we are strangers in your town and wish to present ourselves to the Elysium according to protocol. May we pass?"
The men moved aside, looking at Maurice with gazes that Diego thought were suspicious. It was true that they didn't dress like the others present. It looked like the dress code in the Elysium was business casual, and Maurice had them dress in clothes that would look more at home at a garden party. Maurice himself was wearing a white suit and a pink shirt with no tie. He made a movement with his head, encouraging them to follow him, and took the lead down the corridor. Diego smiled politely at the bouncers as he passed them. Ernst still looked nervous and fiddled with his Panama hat. He felt the documents in his inner pocket and wondered if they would be enough. When they entered the chamber at the end of the corridor, even Maurice took a breath in amazement. It was decorated with a beautiful mural reaching around the entire wall. It depicted San Francisco through several periods in time, the Gold Rush, the Roaring Twenties, the 1960s, and today, in incredible, almost 3D clarity. Maurice looked impressed and took one step toward the wall to examine a part depicting Chinatown when Diego put his hand on Maurice's shoulder.
"Not now," he whispered. "We've asked to go in for the introduction. We need to present ourselves. Art can wait."
Maurice looked at his friend and raised both eyebrows, making him look almost comical.
"Art can never wait, mon ami. I thought you knew that by now. Art is everything to me."
"Well, you can study it to your heart's content when we've presented ourselves, if we're still alive. Just trust me, I'm the one who's been here before."
"So you have?"
"My apologies." Maurice straightened up and began walking through the chamber with long, purposeful steps. At the end, raised on a small dais, sat three people on what looked like thrones. Two of them were men, one was a woman. All wore only black, and all looked interestedly at them as they approached.
"Prince L'Amour,"
Maurice said, making a bow that looked like it had come from a Robin Hood movie.
"I am Maurice de Lavigne, originally from France. I greet you most humbly."
His voice was loud and made most of the Elysium turn their heads to look at him. The man in the middle of the dais raised his hand.
"I greet you, Monsieur de Lavigne. Welcome to my city. These are my chief advisors, Alani Acone and Juan Rodriguez.
The two people next to him both inclined their heads in greeting. Maurice raised his head and looked at them.
Alani Acone, the beautiful orange tree. Such a lovely name. Hawaiian, isn't it?
The woman didn't react to his flattery or question, but the prince continued.
What brings you to my city?
Art, my lord prince. I'm here to make great and wonderful works of art.
What sort of art do you do, monsieur? Painting, sculpting, music?
No, not exactly. My friends and I. These are my friends, by the way. Diego Alonso and Ernst Schulten. We're here to use quite a different medium. I'm a murder artist.
A what?
Prince L'Amour raised his eyebrow.
Explain, please.
A murder artist. I paint with blood, sculpt with bodies, create exquisite displays to celebrate the beauty of death.
Something most of the people in this room would have a keen interest in, I would assume, although some of you might have forgotten about it.
He let his hands make a sweep, indicating the entire chamber.
Everyone here likes death, whether you admit it or not.
The prince leaned forward in his chair.
This is a peaceful city, monsieur. We follow rules here, set in place years ago. It keeps the city calm, keeps the mortals from being on our backs, and keeps order in the vampire society. We do most assuredly not need anyone to come in here and...
Paint the town red?
Maurice suggested, his face now split in a wicked smile.
Oh, come now, my lord prince. Admit that you miss it. The thrill of the chase. The blood. The gore. The wonderful feeling of a human's last breath against your face.
Okay, enough, Maurice,
Diego whispered, but his friend didn't seem to hear him.
I've come here with a mission, my lord prince. I've come to teach your subjects what they seem to have forgotten. We're hunters, not farmers. We are predators, feasting on the blood of the herbivores. You need to experience the thrill again, to get out in the streets and let them flow with crimson.
There was a murmur throughout the room as everybody's eyes now looked at Maurice.
Enough!
The prince said, raising his voice almost to a roar and silencing every other sound in the Elysium.
I won't have that kind of talk in my city. Monsieur, I will ask you this only once. Did you and your friends cause the incident in Monterey a few days ago?
Maurice bowed again.
Indeed we did, Prince. I'm proud of it. Have you read the reviews?
Reviews,
the prince spat.
All the newspapers, the internet, the TV news, everybody's talking about my piece of art. That's the kind of art I do, and that's what I'm here to do.
He
smiled a coy smile and put a finger to the corner of his mouth like a shy child asking for a cookie.
I trust that won't be a problem with you, Lord Prince.
The prince didn't respond, but his eyes burned. He pointed to someone in the crowd, signaling them to move forward. Three other vampires, not as big and muscled as the bouncers, but still looking capable enough, stepped forward.
Remove these men from the Elysium,
the prince demanded.
That's what I had sort of anticipated.
Well, in that case, I'm so glad my associate here has done his homework.
Maurice turned to Ernst, who began to sweat.
This would be the proper time, I assume?
Ernst nodded as two hands seized his arms.
We challenge the prince for the ruling privilege,
Maurice shouted.
As put down in your own laws.
The hands reaching for all three of them stopped and pulled back. Maurice straightened his shirt and looked around at the crowd, who had fallen completely silent.
That's right.
Ernst, the legal stuff, please. I'm an artist, not a lawyer.
Ernst took several sheets of papers from his pocket and cleared his throat.
As put forward in the code of the San Francisco Vampire Court and the Northern California Immortal Society, paragraph 236, section 2, all may challenge the prince of the city for the ruling privilege in San Francisco, be he of sound body and mind, and having broken no laws in the city of San Francisco. Further, section 3, upon challenge, democratic elections must be held within 2 full moons, giving the people time to decide and the parties time to present their ideologies and ideas for the Society of San Francisco's immortal population.
The prince didn't speak, but looked like he wanted to jump off the dais and grab Maurice by the throat, only holding back with the most incredible of willpower.
Where did you even learn of this?
Rodriguez said, leaning forward in his chair.
That book has been sealed away since...
Ernst opened his mouth to reply, but Maurice spoke instead.
It's incredible what you can learn when you run into former subjects of yours, especially someone who was thrown out of the city for a behavior you didn't approve of. We met such a man in Michigan, of all places, and he told us about the secret book of laws for San Francisco vampires, which he helped write before being asked to leave for being too loyal to the old regime. That he had an eidetic memory was something you didn't think about back then, I'm sure. I believe the actual book of laws resides with you, Prince Lamort. Or, of course, as of right now, I should just call you Mr. Lamort. It's not something you wanted public, I'm sure, or you would have had hundreds of challengers by now.
This is insanity!
Lamort squeezed his armrests so tight that his hands looked like a bird's talons.
We're not just going to step down because of some obscure old... It's the valid law,
Ernst said.
No law has been made to counter it. I'm sorry to say that, legally speaking, you're bound by your own code.
Very well,
Lamort said, trying to regain his composure.
If we must honor the code, so be it. We shall have such a vote right now. A simple majority vote should...
Ah, that. But the law said something about 2 full moons, right? So we can present our visions for society. I plan to do just that. Let's call it an election campaign.
Lamort shook his head.
I am still the prince of...
Actually, sir, you're not.
Ernst spoke almost apologetically.
Upon the challenge being issued, the prince must stand down and the city be ruled by an interim government, consisting of a representative from each of the challengers. It's quite clearly stated.
And I nominate my friend Diego as representative,
Maurice said, putting one hand on Diego's shoulder and pushing him a step forward.
He's been in this city before and knows his way around. I'm sure he will prove a fine... What should we call you? Half-prince? Or does it sound too much like a Harry Potter book?
The crowd in the room had fallen silent during the challenge, but now whispers and murmurs began filling the room. Prince Lamort stood slowly up from his chair, looking at the crowd. His anger was gone as if it had never been there, and he looked calm and composed.
Hear me now!
He didn't raise his voice much, but it was still enough that the whispers ceased.
I have led you for many years. I have kept peace in this city and provided for our needs. I hope you will remember that, and that I am your prince. This interloper, this cold-blooded murderer, does not deserve to be heard in the court or to sit on the throne I've held for so long.
He lowered his voice slightly, speaking more like to a group of friends than to a hall of subjects.
I care a great deal for you all,
and for this city. I will continue to do so. In the meantime, I will nominate Alani Akoni, my chief counselor, as my interim representative. She will rule wisely.
Oh, and one last thing, Maurice said, taking a step forward and stepping up on the dais itself, making Lamort take a step back.
I find it hard to execute my vision, my campaign, if you will, tied down by laws that the previous administration has been keeping. I submit that until the election takes place, only laws passed by the interim representatives should be kept. All others are null and void. No ties, no restrictions, no need for consent. All shall hunt, maim, or kill to their heart's content. Who agrees with me?
At first, there was no reaction, which made Maurice unsure of himself for the briefest of moments. Had he miscalculated? Was everyone truly content not to hunt? Then, slowly, hands began to go up. One or two at first, then more and more, as people saw that the idea was gaining traction, until the room looked like a forest of strange trees reaching for the low ceiling. Not everyone in the Elysium had their hands up, but it was clear that most did. Maurice laughed in his high voice and made a mocking symbol of respect at Lamort.
Looks like majority rules, doesn't it?
His voice was light, and he felt even lighter. Of course, he had been right. It was always in the vampire nature to hunt, and these people had simply played it safe for too long. Now they could experience a walk on the wild side. Lamort looked at Maurice with eyes that could have burned a hole in an oaken plank, but kept his voice low.
I don't know what your game is and why you've come into my city to disrupt and destroy all I've built, but I swear this to you, when this is all over and I am back on the throne, I will call a hunt on you the likes of which you have never seen. I will send every executioner in the country after you. You won't even know what hit you.
Maurice held up one finger, smiling.
Ah, but that's if you win. Come now, Lamour. I thought this was the city of tolerance. Aren't you supposed to hug me and forgive me and sing Kumbaya? Tell me we're brothers in spirit and all that.
Lamort bit his lip, but didn't answer.
What do you say we call this evening to an end, and you can go home and start thinking about your campaign? In the meantime, Maurice cracked his knuckles, I've got to get to my next project.
Project?
Why, yes, of course. I have to make the people understand what I stand for, and the best way to do that is to put on a show.
Maurice raised his voice.
Ladies and gentlemen, buzzers and bloodsuckers, the Elysium will now close. Go home and think about what's going to happen. See you all very soon.
He expected more of a reply, but the crowd began to slowly seep from the room, moving like people after a traffic accident who are still in shock. Maurice looked at Lamort.
You really have them conditioned well. I must say, I'm impressed.
This should be fun.
Fun? How can you call this fun, you maniac?
Alani said, getting up from her chair for the first time. She wasn't tall, but her golden skin and black hair made an impressive sight nonetheless. She stepped in front of Maurice, looking up at him with blazing eyes.
You are throwing our entire city into chaos.
Because to me, chaos is fun,
Maurice said, half bowing to her.
Now, I suggest you two have a word.
He pointed to Diego, who straightened up.
I'm sure you have a lot to talk about, especially
about allowing the hunts to recommence.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.